Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5. Anyone else have a testimony you want to get in before we get started? I don't want to leave anyone out. I've thoroughly enjoyed our study in the book of James. Was it verse 12 that we stopped? I thought I had 7 marked, but I guess that was an earlier time. I thought it was 12. It was the last mark I seen. Thank you. Lord, hide me behind the cross today. Help me to share it in a way that's simple, that we can all grasp its truth today. Thank you for the opportunity and the honor to share your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Today we call oaths contracts. Of course, James was not referring to all oaths or contracts. He was referring to our everyday speech. Our everyday speech. As Christians, we should be honest. A Christian should be honest. His word need not be backed up by an oath, is what James is saying. You don't need to back your everyday language by an oath. Just be honest. And let your word be your word. You have my word. You remember people say, you have my word. Okay. And be sure that I have your word. Back up your word. James says you don't need an oath for these things. These everyday things that's going on in our lives. Yes, we need oaths and contracts, and the Bible's full of them. But James was not referring to those. He was just referring to our everyday language. There's 4 areas of counsel that I'd like to share for this particular verse. The first one is, don't focus on the situation or you'll become angry. You ever do that? You ever think about something that somebody did to you, and the more you thought about it, the more angry you got? That's what I'm talking about. Don't focus on it. Don't focus on it. Don't focus on yourself, or you'll become filled with self-pity. Well, they shouldn't have said that, or they shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of things that people do and don't realize that they've hurt you or they've offended you. Look at all that they did to Jesus. Think about what they did to him. They spit on him, made fun of him, they mocked him. If you're God, come down off the cross. Well, he was God and he could have came down off the cross, but he stayed there because of his love for you and me. They plucked his beard. Made fun of them. Anybody ever do that to you? Bullies in school? Picking on you? Making fun of you? My mind goes back to many things. Goes back to when I was going to school. We had 7th graders and 12th graders in the same bus. You might remember that. That's not a good situation, but that's the way it was. I remember standing out for the bus till my ears were froze. And then when I got in the bus, the bully behind me just kept snapping them until they were cherry red. Yeah, he did. I won't tell you his name because he's local. He was in 12th grade. I was in 7th. I wanted to. Don't focus on yourself. You'll become filled with self-pity. Don't focus on someone to blame, or you'll begin complaining. And fourthly, don't focus on the present, or you'll miss the point of what God is wishing to achieve in your life. How about that? I remember, could also add, don't think too much of the past. Don't keep your focus on the past, because if you're thinking so much of the past, you don't get a chance to enjoy the present. I remember some of the older folks were always holding off for the big depression that was going to hit. My folks, my parents were involved in that. They saved everything. And you kids will find out what we saved eventually someday. You'll see what we saved. Oh yeah, when the day comes when you got to clean the attic out and everything else, you'll get a chance to see what we saved. A lot of fun for you. Got lots of fun for you. You decide what to do with it, because we've had 40 years and didn't decide what to do with it. So maybe you can decide what you want to do with it. We all have rooms like that. We all have places like that. We all have things like that. And I keep thinking that maybe I should start cleaning up so the kids don't have so much to do. One of these days, I'll get around to it. All right. Keep your hopes high, for the day of the Lord's coming is near, and so much nearer than it was yesterday or the day before. Verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. We have affliction. We have those that suffer, are suffering, and maybe perhaps some difficult circumstances. But the mature Christian is prayerful when it comes to trouble in life. Prayer can help or remove affliction. Sometimes it's God's will for that to happen in your life. Did you ever think about that? That's something that we have to talk about. Affliction can be caused by various things, and I'm going to share about them. Prayer can give us the grace we need to go through the problem. There's times that when you gather up here and you're being anointed, sometimes it might be your desire, Lord, remove me from this situation in my life. And it's God's intention to keep you in that situation. For whatever reason he has, which could be disobedience. Sometimes affliction is caused by disobedience. Doing things that God does not honor. And you find yourself in that situation. Coming up here to be anointed to get rid of it's not going to get rid of it, especially if it was God's design. And so we pray for God's will for each of you. We don't know what that is, but God does. It's hard for us to look at it and see what we think. It don't matter what we think, because God might be doing a wonderful and special work in your life. A lot of people believe in prayer, but they don't practice it. Unless you find yourself suddenly confronted with some grave crisis. And then it becomes amazing how much time you can find for prayer. That kind of hits all of us, doesn't it? I know we should find more time to pray, but we can always find time to pray when we find ourselves in a crisis. Then we got lots of time that we can spend in prayer. But we need to be prayerful in times of affliction, also in times of happiness, and in sickness. Sometimes people pray briefly. And if nothing happens, They quit. Oh, maybe God just doesn't hear my prayer or wants to answer my prayer. But I can assure you that God hears every prayer. He hears everything you say. He just doesn't act immediately as you would like him to. We're an immediate generation. We're used to having things done like this. You put your coffee in the microwave and in 2 minutes, it's ready to drink. Instant potatoes, instant that. And we're living in this type of generation, we expect instant answers from God because it seems like we're somewhat programmed for being instant and immediate. We like to see immediate things happening. But a day with the Lord is as a what? 1,000 years. Sometimes God's timing is really different than ours. And as James says, we have to be patient. We need to be patient. We need to be patient like the prophets. They endured suffering. We need to be patient like Job. You've heard of the patience of Job. We need to be patient like him. It's hard. But James is saying, if you're willing to be patient, you will reap if you faint not. Everybody doesn't go through troubles at the same time. Is there any merry or happy? Let them sing songs. And the mature Christian knows how to sing while he's suffering. Do you remember reading about those in jail? And they began to sing at midnight. Do you remember? They began to sing at midnight. They were in bonds. They were in chains. They still sang. They had a real revival going on in the prison. And they sang, and as they began to sing, the power of God came down and loosened those fetters, those chains, and opened up the doors of the prison, and they walked out. The jailer was responsible for everyone in there. The jailer was about to take his life. And they said, "Do yourself no harm. We are here. Do yourself no harm, we're here." Learning to sing, even through suffering, is very difficult and very hard to do. Do you know that prayer is mentioned 7 times between the verses of 14 and 20? There's 4 places and areas which prayer is very essential. Number one, you'll see it is essential when afflicted, verse 13. When afflicted, smitten with trouble, we pray for relief, we pray for strength. Another time is when sick. Notice, any sick among you, let him call. And whatever the terminology is used in the male gender, of course it always includes the females as well. And what he's saying in verse 14 is, any sick among you, let him call for the elders. You see, the responsibility there lies on the one that's sick. It says, let them call for the elders. Let them ask for the elders to pray with them. You see, sometimes those in sick, they've prayed, but we need more prayer than just theirs. We need the prayer of the elders, and we need the prayer of the church. We need all your prayers. We need your prayers. We need them. You want us to get unified and pray together about this one matter. Scripture's full of prayers. What happens when people all get together and agree to pray for one another and agree about a certain matter and pray about it? But here the sick is told, call for the elders of the church. And we know that Paul and Barnabas, wherever they started churches, they set up elders in all the churches that they went to. They set up elders in these churches. So 1, when afflicted, 2, when sick, and 3, when corrupted by sin. That's in there too. The prayer of faith will save the sick. We need to read these. Verse 14, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he committed sins, they shall be forgiven of him. Now we know in the Bible, there's been different places where oil and wine were used. We know that in the parable of the Samaritan, he was wounded, he was beaten and wounded, and there was oil and wine used to help his healing, his physical healing, his wounds. We know that this particular use of the word oil is used differently. James is using oil here as a type of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol. The oil here is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The oil itself has no power. We use olive oil. There's been different scents of oil that can be purchased. This one is spikenard. There are different fragrant oils that can be purchased at Bible stores. There's no power in this, but there's power in your faith. It says the prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. It's all about faith. Has nothing to do with the oil, has nothing to do with my touch or an elder's touch, but it has everything to do with your faith. Your faith. When the Lord came to those that were sick, he said, dost thou believe that I can do this? Do you believe it? Before he touched them, he said, do you believe that I can do this? Why do you think he sent out all those unbelievers when he went into the house to raise the one from the dead? It said he sent them out. Do you know why? He got rid of the unbelievers. He sent them out of the room. Just he and the lad was in the room by themselves. He sent the unbelievers out. He cast them out of the room. You see? It's belief. Believing. We're going to get to some other things here. Why are some people healed and why are some people not healed? When corrupted by sin, we're to confess one another, pray for one another. In specific needs, when specific needs occur, we're also to pray for specific people, specific things. James was known as a man of prayer. Tradition has it that he was nicknamed Camel Knees. He spent as much time on his knees as on his feet. How about that? John Welsh, 8 hours of 24 hours he spent in prayer. John Wesley, should be familiar, founder of the Methodist faith. His prayers changed England, he said, more than his preaching. It was the prayers that changed England. Prayer is to be continuous and not for emergencies. Oh, we got to remember that. It's to be continuous and not just for emergencies. Prayer is designed for every part of life. No age limits here. Children, pray. Something going on in school, you have a bully, pray. Situations in your home, pray. A boyfriend or a girlfriend, that's the best place to pray. Pray. God gives you the right one. You want the right one. God can help you with that choice. Pray. You have not because you ask not. Pray. It's designed for every part of your life. Prayer isn't a substitute for responsibility or intelligent thinking. Prayer is not for the perfect, by the way. Huh? Anybody here perfect? It's not for the perfect. It's for the imperfect. That should hit us all. Prayer is not for the perfect. It's for the imperfect. In verse 14, we read of the elders. They are the mature spiritual leaders of the church. We can see that they were already instituted in the churches. We know that Paul and Barnabas, everywhere they went, they instilled these elders. I'm actually an elder. I'm a chief elder. I'd be considered a chief elder. I'm a pastor/chief elder. The sick take the initiative to call upon the elders. I shared the oil has no significance as far as the power. It has the significance of the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes the outpouring of God's Spirit. We anoint you in the name of the Lord. It is the name of the Lord. It's Him. He has the power. And we anoint you in the name of the Lord. I've been around some others that anoint. I've talked to other pastors that do anointing. Some put a cross on the forehead. Whatever you're used to, whatever works for you. Scripture says, just anoint in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, I want to play on that word save there. What that's referring to is a physical healing there. That's talking about a physical healing. I want to make it very clear that when you come up here to be anointed, you're not getting saved. When I anoint you and we pray with you, you're not getting saved. Oh, you could, I suppose, if that was your desire and that's why you wanted to come up. And you've asked the Lord, Lord, I need salvation. And while you're standing up here, you're asking Jesus to forgive you your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you're inviting him into your heart and life, you sure could be saved right here on the spot, because that's what you need to do to confess the Lord. You could. But this isn't what James is talking about here. When you're coming up, you're not getting saved as salvation. Saved, the word saved here, if you study it, has to do with the healing of the body. The healing of the body. Why don't everybody get healed? I don't know. That's real simple. I don't know. I don't know why everybody doesn't get healed. I've heard of some wonderful testimonies of addicts that were addicted to drugs. I've heard of those addicted to alcohol. I've heard of them getting complete deliverance immediately. And then I've also known of those who've had to battle fighting it all their life till Jesus called them home. I've known of them too. I don't know. I really can't answer that question. I don't know. You'll have to ask the Lord. I don't know. Only He knows. I do know this, and I do say this when I pray. I remind the Lord that every time He touched somebody, they were healed. Didn't matter what it was in their life. It didn't matter what the disease was. In Jesus' day, it was leprosy. There was no known cure for leprosy. So I remind the Lord, that Lord, everyone you touched was healed. And then I quote the scripture, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. But then I also pray, but Lord, you know all things. And if it's your will that this is what it is, then so be it. Then so be it. We can't change God's will. We try, we pray. David thought he could. But I can tell you this. When he makes a decision, it's the best decision you'll ever have. I'll take his decision anytime over anybody else's. The person is healed by the prayer of faith. In 1 John 5, I'd like to read 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let the elders seek the mind of the Lord and pray according to his will. That's what we seek to do here. The cause of sickness. Sins can cause sickness. Sin is not necessarily the cause of every sickness. Remember when they came upon this one that was blind from his birth? Remember the disciples asked Jesus, Was it some kind of sin that the parents did? Remember, they asked Jesus this? And Jesus says, no. He says, so that the works of God might be made manifest this day. That's interesting. Now, there are some sicknesses that's caused by sin. We don't know what they are, but God knows. He knows. And they're reserved for the judgment of God and God alone. For any Christian to point a finger at somebody else and say, well, there must be some sin in their life. Don't you do that. Don't do that. That's not Christian love. You love them as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. You love them and pray for them. And let him decide. Let him be the judge, not you. Because if you judge, you'll be judged. The same way that you've judged someone else, you'll be judged. The same way. That's what he says. It's real clear. With what judgment you judge another, you shall also be judged. That's what it says. So let the Lord decide that. We shall be forgiven. If a person is sick because of sin, it's possible that they're being disciplined by God. Maybe they've been disobedient to God in some area, some way they were disobedient, and this led to sickness. We don't know, but God knows. And the prayer of faith of the elders, it's not from the elders' touch, but it's the prayer of faith of those who are needing to be touched. But sometimes it takes more than that individual's prayer. It needs the prayer of the elders as well as the prayer of the church. That's why it says here that we need to call for the elders. And the question, why are some healed and some not? Many of God's saints suffer affliction, sickness, and death. Thy will be done. Remember Jesus' words, thy will be done. Even he did according to the Father's will. Greater glory will be given to God by those who, through patient endurance, than miraculous healing would. Did you catch that? Greater glory is given by God, but through patient endurance, than by miraculous healing. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There, that's pretty good. It does avail. It does make sense to pray. It does, you will get results. It may not be the results you're looking for, but the fervent prayer availeth much. Faults, sins, make things right. Then there can be real intercessing in prayer that you can be healed. And then verse 17 and 18, Elias is another word for Elijah. Elijah was a man that was subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. He was a righteous man. He was a man of prayer. So what about us today? We're just average Joe. What do we have going for us? Elijah was a man subject like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly. We can pray earnestly, okay? He prayed earnestly. We can pray earnestly. We can continue in prayer. And I like this again. I'd like to read the next verse. And verse 18 says what? And he what? He prayed again. There you go. There you go. Sometimes we ask more than once, don't we? Sometimes you come up here every Sunday and you ask every Sunday. You're not alone. Elijah was a man of like passions. He prayed earnestly. We can pray earnestly. He prayed again. We can pray again. Verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. How do we handle straying saints, wayward Christians? Three things we need to do to help someone come back to the Lord. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Let our hearts be molded that we can represent these concerns of the Lord. Secondly, we need to be gentle. Gentleness needs to be involved. And thirdly, genuine humility. We need to know our frailties and our limitations. And whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, you certainly need to do it. Many times the Holy Spirit has prompted many of you to do things, to pick up the phone and call and say, you know, I've been praying for you. When you save a soul from death, you've delivered them from spiritual death, you've delivered them from eternal death, and you have delivered them from a premature physical death. Spiritual, eternal, and a premature physical death. You ever think about the sin of a believer? I think God treats the sin of a believer a lot differently than the sin of a sinner. You see, God expects his children to obey him. God forgives us. But I believe he expects a little more from us because we know better. Are you listening to me? He expects a little more from us because we know better. Soul winning. We're to speak the truth in love. We're to have a heart of love for others, for the love shall cover a multitude of sins. In the scriptures, it talks about seeking the lost. In Proverbs 11:30, it talks about hunting those who are lost. In Mark 1:17, it talks about fishing. I will make you fishers of men, the Lord said. In Corinthians, it talks about being an ambassador. Throughout the Gospels, when it talked about lost, it talked about lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son, Luke chapter 15. And so I'm going to finish this chapter now. In fact, I'm going to give just a little bird's eye view of 12 questions that talk about the entire book of James that we've just covered to see how mature we are. Am I becoming more and more patient in the testings of life? Do I play with temptation or resist it from the start? Thirdly, do I find joy in obeying the Word of God? Fourthly, are there any prejudices that shackle me? Fifthly, am I able to control my tongue? Sixth, am I a peacemaker versus a troublemaker? Seven, am I a friend of God or a friend of the world? Eight, do I make plans without considering the will of God? Nine, am I selfish when it comes to money? 10, do I naturally depend on prayer when I find myself in some kind of trouble? 11, am I the kind of person others seek for prayer support? Do they call me when there's a need arises and they want me to pray with them? And 12, lastly, what is my attitude toward the wandering brother or sister? Do I criticize or gossip, or do I seek to restore him or her in love? Don't just grow old. Grow up and be mature. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity I've had to share this precious book. It's been a real joy and a real blessing to me. And also encouraging and also instructive. And also hit me in lots of places that I need to do better in. And I pray, Lord, that it's the same with those who've heard this message from the Sundays past on this wonderful book of James. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity to share your word today as well as the other Sundays. Thank you for everyone that's been able to be here today. Lord, you know the areas of their life that need to be touched and the areas that need to make adjustments. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll help each and every one of us to do that. And Lord, like the Sunday school lesson, we need to let our light shine so that others may see the good works and thereby glorify you in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Be with each and every one that's here today. Give them a safe trip to their homes until we come back again. In Jesus' name we pray.